Hockey Talk Show on this Friday, October 5th. It is just a little bit before 5 o'clock in the East. Want to welcome everybody in. And thank you guys for tuning in here on the Hockey Talk Show. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, we appreciate it. We got a whole slew of stuff to get into. So here we go. The NHL's double standard. Tom Wilson, 20-game suspension, which he plans on appealing. Brad Marchand gets a big fat nothing. We'll analyze Brad Marchand's play. I thought it was dirty as all hell. Love to get your thoughts. Michael Nylander. William Nylander. Sorry. Michael's his dad. William Nylander. We are digging in. This one's going to be a long one. I have a feeling we'll analyze what's going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs situation now that John Tavares has come to town. Also got to get to some of the other news of the league here. We've got some injuries to talk about, and we've got your questions to take. I do want to touch on the Islanders and the Devils radio deal. It's pathetic. We'll get into it right here, live on a Friday on the Hockey Talk Show. How about that? Michael, welcome in, man. Listening from Northern Ireland. Pietro, how's it going, man? Going to talk Isles in a little bit here. AK, great win by the Islanders. They sure did look pretty okay last night. I'll reiterate what I said in the first show of the year on Wednesday. The Islanders are not going to be as bad as everybody's predicting they're going to be. They're not a playoff team. They're just not going to be as bad as everybody's predicting them to be. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, conversely, are not as good as everybody thinks that they're going to be. And we saw that with the opening night play against the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah, sure, they got a win out of the deal. But, I mean, come on, you should be destroying the Montreal Canadiens. You had to squeak that one out in overtime? That sucks. That sucks. Not a good play. Not a good night by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I hope that that took them down a couple of notches. I really do. I hope they've come down to earth a little bit here, because the Toronto Maple Leafs so far, game one, day one in the National Hockey League, all of my predictions were fulfilled. The Leafs aren't as good as they think they are. The Islanders aren't as bad as they think they are. But Isles fans, before you guys go getting overly excited, it was the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, come on. Again, if I'm going to hold the Leafs to a standard, I got to hold the Islanders to the same exact standard. You should be rolling over the Carolina Hurricanes. Rolling over. Same thing with the Montreal Canadiens. Interestingly enough, the Ottawa Senators were even a little tough to beat in game one of the season. Like, all the teams that are supposed to be horrible, I think, forced all their games into overtime game one. It was kind of crazy to see. It was really kind of a crazy little
if I'm
going to
hold the Leafs
see.
To a standard, I got to hold the.
We'll take your questions towards the end of the show. Of course, if you got something, you could throw it out there. I'll try and answer as many as I can. But I'm going to try and save the end of the shows for specific questions. So hold on to them. Keep them ready to go in the chats on Facebook and YouTube. Of course, you guys can follow along on Twitter at Hockey Talk Show. Same deal for Twitter, for Instagram and Facebook. And as always, if you're watching and you're liking, share, hit that share button, hit that like button. Make sure you guys are subscribed on YouTube. We need to up our YouTube numbers there a little bit. Throw that around and share the YouTube link all around if you can, as we continue to build this Hockey Talk Show. You guys have been nothing short of outstanding in doing that. We already saw a little bit of an increase from the first show to right now. So that was awesome. You guys, want to thank you as always for being the absolute best people to hang with right here on the Hockey Talk Show. Brad Marchand, let's take a look at the play. Actually, the funny thing about this is Tom Wilson gets 20 game suspension. It's national headline news, right? I mean, it was a big hit, so I get it. Brad Marchand goes and pulls what he pulls, and I'm sure you're sitting there like, "Ant, what did Brad Marchand do?" I don't know. Yeah, because nobody's talking about it. nobody's talking about it. And this is the double standard in the NHL. Brad Marchand can literally go around murdering people and the league will be like, isn't he a little bugger? Look at him, a little bugger, pushing people around, murdering people. Isn't he great? They love Brad Marchand. I don't get it. I can't stand Brad Marchand. I respect good players. This guy is dirty and awful. We end the season with him licking people. And now here we are, game one, and we're still talking about this guy. I thought what he did was dirty and horrible. Hi, Priscilla. AK, I hope Wilson smashes that rat. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. My mom says Marchand needs to be dewormed. There you go. How bad was Boston in their first game? They redefined bad. They were awful. Awful. Brian, I'm going to get to the Islanders in a sec. Promise you, bud. Let's take a look at the Marchand play, though. Because it was, I thought, dirty. I thought it was... See, to me, this is what the National Hockey League should take out of the game. The Brad Marchand stuff. I know they want to eliminate hits. I know the hits to the head. I know the concussions. I get everything. I'm not saying that what Brad Marchand does takes away from what Tom Wilson does. They're two distinctly different things. Distinctly different. What I'm saying is, if you're going to come down on Tom Wilson for 20 games, then you just can't walk away and completely ignore what Brad Marchand did. You just can't do it. That sucks. It sucks big time. It's not right. Not right whatsoever. Let's take a look at the play here. This is from opening night.
Perhaps I'm wrong, but it seems like I'm seeing a little more of this unit that we have out for the Caps right now. Maybe a little more often. And now Lars Eller is looked over by Marchand.
All right, now here's the fight here. You can see between these two. Big haymakers from Marchand. Clearly wins the fight. Clearly wins the battle. Eller's not a fighter, not whatsoever, not in the least bit. Eller's got the size on him and everything. Look at that little blood action. Oof. Welcome to the 2018 season, Lars. Ain't gonna be easy. Think getting back to that comp again is gonna be easy. It ain't gonna be easy. So this was the play. There goes Marchand off into the tunnel. We'll see some of the replays here from NBC Sports Network. Clips, of course, courtesy of them in the National Hockey League. Want to thank them for that. Here's the thing, though. What you don't see and what you'll see a little bit of, I think, in this clip here is the taunting. Supposedly, Lars Eller, they're running up the score here. I don't even know what the score was at this point. If it was 6-0 or 7-0, they won the game 7-0. They're running up the score here. Supposedly, Lars Eller taunted the Boston Bruins, which I have a hard time believing. They show him saying something, whatever it is, doesn't even look that bad. And if that was the case, then fine, take his number. My hockey coach in high school used to always say the same thing. You want to get revenge? Take his number. Wait till he's open. Put him on his ass. That's what he said. I feel like that's the way hockey players should act. Good hockey players act exactly like that. But to come up from behind somebody with your gloves already off, grab him by the shirt and start swinging, to me, is a punk way to live. It's bull, and it deserves to be suspended. It's the typical just rat play of Brad Marchand that, for whatever reason, the National Hockey League feels is adorable. So cute. Isn't Marchand adorable? He's such a little pest. No. I don't find it to be adorable. I don't find it to be cute. This is the same guy that was suspended by the National Hockey League and had the balls to show up for the All-Star game. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Game one. Pulls a cheap shot, throws a sucker punch on Lars Eller, bloodies the guy, and everybody acts like, well, you know, we see, you know, that's a little instigator, a little rat. Oh, he's a pest, that Brad Marchand. Everybody's okay with that. Everybody's okay with blood trickling down the side of the head and a sucker punch, bare-fisted sucker punch. That's just fine. No problems. That's okay. Oh, the big guy hit the unknowing guy who went across the middle and with his head down. That's 20 games. Come on. I'm not saying Tom Wilson doesn't deserve a suspension. I'm not saying that. He deserves a suspension. But, like, where's the scale here? Because there's wild inconsistencies from the National Hockey League when it comes down to these things. They just let Brad Marchand go no matter what. And nobody says peep. And it pisses me off. Here's some of the replay with Doc.
Well, remember, Lars Eller is the guy that scored the 7th goal.
So this is supposedly Lars Eller's coming in and taunting.
And that's right after he scored. He's having words at the Bruins bench, and then Eller jumps on the ice for his next shift. And Brad
now here, okay, so that was the supposed taunting. That was the supposed taunting. That didn't look that bad to me. I'm sure words were exchanged. I'm sure he said some stuff that the Boston Bruins did not appreciate. But does it warrant what comes next? Take a look at what happens next. I mean, this is ridiculous.
The ice for his next shift, and Brad Marchand finds him.
He's still got his gloves on. Look at this. He still has his gloves on. Marchand comes across, grabs Eller, who still has his gloves. Look. Take a look. There's the first punch. There it is right there. It's right there. It's right there. He's already throwing the damn punch. You've got to be kidding me. And you can see Eller's gloves are still on. They're still on. Isn't he adorable? And then TJ Oshie after the game goes, boy, I hope the league takes care of Brad Marchand. Do you want to hear what the league said today? That was it. Silence. Silence. The league went all Simon and Garfunkel on us. That's the sound of silence, baby. Nothing. Just good old adorable, just adorable Brad Marchand. Ain't nothing wrong with it. This is adorable. This is a good player. This is not worth a hearing, an investigation, a suspension. This is the guy that made national headlines at the end of last season for licking people on the face during the playoffs. He was going around and licking people during, and this is kind of funny, but not really a joke at all, during the hashtag MeToo. Literally, people are talking about sexual assault left and right. This asshole is running around licking people on the face. Putting the National Hockey League in national headlines all across the country. Forget it, all across the world for licking people. And this is okay. This is all right. Marchand's already mid. That punch is about to connect. That punch is about to land. And Eller still has his gloves on. The guy never had a chance. Not that I think that Lars Eller could win a fight anyway. I mean, just I would put him up against my one-year-old daughter, and I'd still take my one-year-old daughter. He's already throwing. Look at it. He still doesn't have his gloves off. Gloves still not off. The gloves are still. Then finally, he realizes nobody's going to come and rescue me here. Certainly not the referees. Certainly not the National Hockey League. It's Brad Marchand. He must have naked pictures of Gary Bettman doing God knows what because he's able to run around and do whatever he pleases without any fear or repercussion for anything. I would love to see the compromising photos that Brad Marchand has of Gary Bettman. I would love to see it. I would love to see it because there's got to be something. There has got to be something that this is allowed. This is okay. This isn't even commented on by the league, and Tom Wilson gets 20 games for throwing a hit. You've got to be kidding me. Oof.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if Lars Eller, after scoring that goal, if something was done in his celebration that, you know, prompted the Boston bench to have some words with him.
Even the commentators, what did Lars Eller do? I mean, this is literally like blaming the victim. Like, what were you? Oh, you got sexually assaulted? Well, what were you wearing? How are you acting? Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They're going around going, boy, I wonder what he must have said to receive this treatment. What he said? I don't care if he said the worst thing you could come up with. Nobody should be allowed to sucker punch another player and it go on unchecked. And by the way, not only sucker punching another player, but again, where the double standard comes into play, we're all sitting here talking about Tom Wilson's a repeat offender. This guy has been suspended more times than I could even friggin' remember. And the last time he was suspended, they went with the technicality. He's not technically a repeat offender. It was like his fifth suspension. And they're giving us the, he's technically not a repeat offender. No, he's technically a gigantic douchebag who should be ridden out of this game. Yet his behavior, licking people, throwing sucker punches, slew-footing players, purposely hitting players in the head, continues to be meh. That's the game he plays. He's just a pest. You know, I mean, Jesus. AK, if Marshawn was 4 to 5 inches taller, he would definitely be suspended. You got that right. You got that right. You think there's injustice going on in this world right now, which there is, and I'm not taking away from that. What's going on in the league is so hypocritical. So friggin' hypocritical. TJ Oshie goes, I wonder what the league's going to do about it. And that's what everybody writes about today. Like, TJ Oshie wants the league to do something about it. No. Everybody should be writing. The league should be doing something about this. I don't know why he's able to get away with it. What taunting? He said something to the bench. Look, if you're in there and you're flailing your arms and you're flying the eagle at 7-0, yeah, you know what? You deserve to get cracked in the face, but at least know that it's coming. I didn't see any of that from Lars Eller. None of that. Are they mad because he celebrated scoring the 7th goal? All right. I wouldn't want to see that happen, but it's still not warranted a sucker punch. If the guy don't want to go with you, he don't want to go with you. I would rather see Brad Marchand stand up, drop his gloves, and let Lars Eller be a punk and not stick up for himself. To me, that's the victory you need if you're Brad Marchand. You want to celebrate against my team 7-0? Drop your gloves. I've dropped mine. You don't want to drop your gloves? Well, now everybody knows the type of player you are. But no, not Brad Marchand. Not little. The league won't suspend me. I got compromising photos of Gary Bettman. Not that guy. He gets to do whatever the hell he wants. And I'm sorry, but I'm just a little sick of seeing it as a hockey fan. I'm just sick of seeing it. And then you go out and you watch Tom Wilson get 20 games for what he did. And I understand where the league's coming from. And everybody kind of thought 10, 12 games. But 20? And then you let this happen? It's a double standard. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I like hitting in the game. I like clean hitting. I understand you want to protect players. I don't want to see anybody with a concussion. But, I mean, this guy took a bare fist to the face at least 2 or 3 shots before he even had his gloves off. You're not concerned about that? You're not concerned about that at all? Not even a hearing? Not even a we're looking into it? No, because we don't want one of the stars of the league to face a suspension. So only the rough and rugged guys have to deal with player safety, not the supposed superstars that show up on video game covers and magazines and things of that nature. So now we have a two standard look in the National Hockey League. Like, it's just garbage. It's just garbage. let's go back and see this. This is the supposed celebration that Brad Marchand was upset with. All right, so this is Lars Eller scoring the goal. Because what, he pumped his fist? Because he's waving to his home fans?
Oh, yeah.
Not much there, really.
You heard the commentators, not much there, really.
Really wasn't much.
Set you off. Yeah. And as he was going, there it is again. So,
oh, it was the second one.
The second one, I think.
Boston
bench upset.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, if you want to tell me that warrants a bare fist to the face, that second one, if you're going to sit there and tell me that that warrants what Brad Marchand did, I just can't. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. It still doesn't. You want to tell me that Lars, all right, did he get a little excited? They raised the Stanley Cup banner. They got the rings. He's into it. They're running over there. Did he get a little too excited and pumped up? All right, I'll take that. But it doesn't warrant what Brad Marchand did. I'm sorry. It wasn't that flagrant. And you know what? If he did it in front of the bench, which you can see he kind of did, it wasn't like he was looking at the bench or taunt. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't warrant it. If you want to go up and challenge Lars Eller to a fight after that, I'm okay with it. If he wants to take it, okay. I have no problems with any of these. It's skating up from behind him with your gloves already off and throwing three fists before he even has a chance to know what's happening. It's the sucker punch that drives me up a wall. It's a double standard, and the league's got a problem, and they need to fix it. The Toronto Maple Leafs have a problem, and that problem wears number 29 on his back, or will whenever the hell he shows up. The Maple Leafs have a real issue on their hands. We're heading into day 3 of the National Hockey League season, and William Nylander is nowhere in sight. In fact, he's not even on the same continent as the Toronto Maple Leafs, let alone the same city, let alone the same country, let alone North America. He's not there. And I'll tell you what, he ain't showing up anytime soon. William Nylander is digging in. And last year, when everybody was like, Tavares is going to the Leafs, I said, I didn't see it. Now he ultimately wound up there. I was wrong, of course. But the thing that I kept repeating to everybody was the Toronto Maple Leafs don't need John Tavares. The Toronto Maple Leafs have 3 of the absolute best forwards in the National Hockey League. The Toronto Maple Leafs, and I said this, you can go back to hockey talk shows of the past. I said the Toronto Maple Leafs have their Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel combination. And they didn't have to trade anybody to get it. They didn't have to go out and sign any ridiculous restrictive free. They drafted them. They are going to develop them. They're going to be lifelong Maple Leafs if they want. When everybody was like, John Tavares this and John Tavares that. Look, guys, I've seen John Tavares play every single one of his games. I know he's an outstanding player. I know he makes the team immediately better. But if I was the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, I would have even been in that room pitching him. Why? Because I got my John Tavares. His name is Austin Matthews. And I got 2 other guys that may not be Austin Matthews, but they're pretty damn good, pretty damn close, and pretty damn complimentary to my John Tavares. And what I really need is a Drew Doughty. What I really need is a Chris Letang. I mean, however you want to slice a 1A, you know, whatever you want to do it. Whoever, I don't care what your example is. However you want to go about it, that should have been your focus. That should have been your focus. Instead, Broads, what's up, man? Instead, you go out and you get John Tavares, which your team is going to be better. It's going to be the sickest power play in the league. But you barely beat the Montreal Canadiens. And I don't want to blow the first game too much out of proportion, but you barely beat the Montreal Canadiens. Your incredible lack of defense showed pretty much substantially in game 1. But when Kyle Dubas signed John Tavares, what did he say? He made a rookie mistake. We see a path. to signing all three of our upcoming free agents. I don't think he really spent enough time with William Nylander to figure out if he can really pull it off. Because honestly, you just can't get this guy under contract. And here's the thing. I don't necessarily find this to be a bad thing. Would I like to have William Nylander under contract? Sure. But I think one of two things here. Either Kyle Dubas is in the midst of his first huge mistake as general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, or he's a damn genius and thought to himself, well, if I can't get William Nylander under contract, I'll just trade him for the defenseman that I should have gotten instead of John Tavares. If that's the case, then he's a genius. If by December we see William Nylander on a side and trade deal, or, you know, he's able to go talk to the team that he's going to get traded and he signs immediately after being traded and a great defenseman comes back the other way, then we know that Kyle Dubas is a genius. I mean, that's the zero sum game, right? If I'm playing this poker hand, I'm saying to myself, I got this player. He cannot go anywhere. He has no arbitration rights. He's mine. He can wait 6 months, a year, 18 months. Still mine. He has no rights whatsoever. Worst case scenario, I trade him for a defenseman that I need. I mean, that's the zero sum game, is it not? So maybe Kyle Dubas is a mad scientist genius, but the fact of the matter is, if that's the case, then don't go out and say, I see a path where we can sign all these guys, because you really don't. What's the path? He takes a lot less money than he deserves. Like, I mean, that's not a path. That's hoping for the best. That's not a plan. This, crossing your fingers and hoping against, that's not a plan. That's not a plan. Okay. It's just not. So the Leaf situation is not going to get any better. Not anytime soon. William Nylander, we now know, is in Sweden. We know this because he spoke to Swedish newspaper Aftonbladet. I'm fairly sure I said that wrong. And he said, although he wants to remain with the Maple Leafs, quote, at the end of the day, I need to look out for myself and make decisions me and my agent believe are the correct ones. I need to think long term. It's my future we're talking about here. Kind of the opposite of what Brendan Shanahan said, right? Brendan Shanahan came out and said, hey, when we were in Detroit, we all took a haircut to stay there, which, by the way, is total bullshit. I'm sorry, but that's bull. That team was a $60 million payroll team in the days where even the good teams were payrolled around $30, $35 million, all right? The Detroit Red Wings had one of the highest payrolls when they were winning the Stanley Cup. There was no coincidence of those two things. So I don't know what the hell Brendan Shanahan's talking about, other than the fact of people didn't have to report player salaries back then. There was no cap, so we really had no idea. But it's bull. That team made a lot of money. Maybe a couple of the guys took a few hundred thousand less here or there, but that's basically it. And that's not what they're asking William Nylander to do. They're asking him to take a lot less money. And it's a real complicated issue. And I'll explain it for you in case you're just catching up to this and you're unaware of it. William Nylander's an RFA. Next year, it's Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. The reason why William Nylander wants more money than he's probably worth right now is because he knows that next year that measuring stick is going to move on him. They probably want him to sign for, I've heard, as crazy low as $5 million. He's probably looking for around $8 or $9 million. Now, most people will say that's absurd. I'm taking a look at the chat. AK, knowledgeable guy. $9 million is absurd. Oh, they're expecting Nylander to sign for $6 million while they give Marner $8 or $9 million. It's absurd. Okay, I knew you knew what you were talking about, AK. But most people are saying, like, it's crazy. You can't pay. David Pastrnak is an 80-point player. He makes 6.6. Why would you give William Nylander, who's a 60-point player, $7 million? That logic stands up. That holds up. I get it. But if you're William Nylander, like AK just said, Mitch Marner is going to play with John Tavares this season. He's going to score a whole heck of a lot of points. Right now, Mitch Marner and William Nylander, before John Tavares enters the picture, are both 60-point players. They're both probably going to get around the same amount of money. Now you bring in Tavares, Marner is definitely going to get more points. If you need an example, see the contracts of Kyle Okposo, Matt Molson, and Josh Bailey. Okay, John Tavares should be getting 10% from each one of those guys still to this day, because he kicked them up so much in the salary world. But Mitch Marner is going to go up exponentially in points, and he's going to want to get paid as such. And 80-point players, if you're David Pastrnak, who signed not that long ago, you made 6.6, which, by the way, he took a little bit of a haircut to stay in Boston. But if you're hitting the free market, you're making easily $8 million. And that's what Mitch Marner is going to want. And Austin Matthews is going to want 12, so there's 20. 11 million is going to John Tavares, so there's 31. So it's kind of hard to pay William Nylander $8 million. So Nylander is sitting there going, look, I know what I'm worth right now, but the point is it's unfair because I'm up for free agency this year. Marner is up next year. He's going to get $3 million. I'm going to sit on a team where I'm getting paid $3 million less than the guy that's got a couple more points than me. You heard him say it right here. It's his future. Shanahan's out there going, we're a team. We see a path. When I was in Detroit, we took a haircut. And what's the first thing that William Nylander says? I need to look out for myself. I need to look out for myself. William Nylander does not feel the same way that everybody else does in the Toronto Maple Leafs organization. It seems like when everybody was running around seeing if they can figure this out, because believe me, the Toronto Maple Leafs employ the most players, the most employees outside of players in the National Hockey League. They have the biggest staff. Absolutely. Hands down. Montreal's probably got a whole bunch. And then so on. You can just knock it down from there as far as teams go. But Toronto's got a lot of people working and a lot of people in that front office. And nobody can figure out that William Nylander was going to get jealous and pissed and want more money. Carrie on Facebook, plus he wants long term. Hit a thumbs up right now because Carrie came up with it. Thumbs up. Hit the share button on Facebook and YouTube right now if you're watching this. He wants long-term. They're saying, maybe we can put him on a bridge deal. What is Nylander saying? Take your bridge deal and stick it up your haircut having rear ends, because I'm not taking a bridge deal. I want a long-term deal, and I want the money that I'm going to get. He doesn't care. He does not care that he is a year earlier and he's going to get hurt for that. He doesn't care. He wants the Marner off of Tavares points total now that Marner's going to get next year. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. What are you going to do? Now, the interesting thing is he has no power. He has no power. So the Leafs can sit there and go, And if the Leafs win a lot, they're just going to sit back and go, If the Leafs don't win, that's when this is going to get interesting, because a lot of people are going to start calling for Kyle Dubas's head early on, and then they're going to start to feel the pressure, because you feel the pressure in Toronto immediately. So this can get interesting, and it really is going to depend on the record of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But if you want my opinion, what Kyle Dubas should do is he should go into William Nylander. He should sit down and go, look, I'm going to trade you. I'm going to go work with other teams. We're going to find what works for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're going to find what works for you contract-wise. We're going to sign and trade you. And that's it. End of story. You want your $8 million? Kyle Dubas got to pick up the phone and go, hey, guys, William wants $8 million over 10 years. Who wants to pay him that? And then can send me a defenseman in return. Now, I haven't even thought about that market. I haven't even thought about the team that has $8 million in cap space, is in desperate need of a forward, and has a spare number one defenseman. I don't even know if that exists. I'd really have to go take a look at it. I don't think it exists, but maybe. But that's what that's essentially what they need and what they have to look for. But you go back and you look at players in this situation, in this scenario, that have lost a considerable amount of time. And the last one that comes to mind for me is Michael Pekka. The guy missed an entire year. He went from the start of the season without a contract to December. He called up Darcy Regier, who was the agent for the Buffalo, who was the general manager for the Buffalo Sabres at the time. And he said, "Darcy, this is ridiculous. I want to come back. Let's hammer this out." A player foregoing his agent and going straight to the general manager and saying, "This is ridiculous. Let's talk about what's fair. Get me back in a uniform. Let's go." Darcy heard him out, went right back at him and said, "I owe you nothing. This is the money that you're getting." Michael sat out for the rest of the year. And what happened? He got traded to the Islanders, and the rest is history. He never wore a Buffalo Sabres jersey ever again. And my point of bringing this up is you go into this sort of a thing and feelings start to get hurt. I'm sure feelings are already hurt. William Nylander, by all accounts, is a pretty good kid. For him to turn around and go, "I'm thinking about myself. I need to look out for myself." He's responding to what the team is saying, which is, "Hey, you're the fourth most important person on this team. You're not that important. You're number four on the list, kid. Take a number." And you don't see it that way. And look, it's his right to sit out, and it's the team's right to stand put. That's fine by me. But what I'm saying is feelings get hurt. And at the end of the day, if he has to settle for way less money, how happy and productive is he going to be on the ice? If he's not on your program, as Kyle Dubas likes to say all the time, and ready to take a whole hell of a lot less money, then, you know, what the hell? What the hell? Why isn't Mitch Marner going to take less? Why isn't Austin Matthews going to take less? We know Tavares took less. Tavares was sitting there with a $13.5 million offer from the San Jose Sharks. I don't even know what he could have gotten from the Islanders. But he took easily, on record that we know of, $2.5 million less a year over 7 years. That's $14 million he left on the table to go play in Toronto. By the way, Tavares could have taken 10. Tavares could have taken $9 million a year. If these haircuts were so important, as you're signing John, or as you're attempting to sign John, where's the communication from Kyle Dubas and Maple Leaf management to William Nylander's people, to Austin Matthews people, to Mitch Marner's people on, "Hey, we got to bring in John for this much. What's it going to take? Where are your guys' heads at? Let's get this hammered out right now." Because if that wasn't the conversation, I'd like to know how the hell this path to signing all these players was figured out. I'd love to know. By the way, here's the other reason why I think that Kyle Dubas is fully okay with trading William Nylander, and this was the plan all along, to trade William Nylander or whatever player wouldn't sign for what they felt was appropriate. And I think it was William Nylander. Mitch Marner was asked to do the video that they showed to John Tavares during his presentation time during free agent week. John Tavares and Austin Matthews spoke before John Tavares signed. Those two reasons right there. Mitch Marner said, "Yeah, I'll jump on the ice and shoot a video for you guys so that you can present to John Tavares. No problem." Austin Matthews got a phone call from John Tavares where John said, "If I sign here for 7 years, I want to make sure that you're going to be here as well." John said, "I don't want to subtract from this team. I want to add. I don't want to price myself so high that you can't be here as well." Austin said to him, "I will be here. Don't worry about it." You know what's missing from these stories? William Nylander. There was no communication between Nylander and Tavares, management and Nylander, which makes me think that they don't really care, because they'll find a sign and trade somewhere along the line in the middle of the season. But God love you, Kyle Dubas, if the Toronto Maple Leafs start to tank, if you guys start to struggle early on, which I don't think they will, but if you do, oh, dear Lord. Because I'll tell you right now, after you couldn't beat the Montreal Canadiens in regulation, you already started to hear murmurs and buzz. If you think that the Toronto media don't have stories already written on their laptops waiting to get sent about how William Nylander not being on the team is hurting this franchise, you're crazy. Because those stories have already been written. They're waiting to fill in the specifics and send off. You better believe it, because that's how it works. I worked for the New York Islanders for a long time. Stories were written about games during games. Specifics were filled out at the end of the night. Stories were sent off. That is exactly what is happening right now with William Nylander over there in the Toronto market. Let's see here. Steven, talk about the Avs. How do you think they will do this season? Avs, one of the surprises last year. It was actually quite lovely to see what that franchise did. It's kind of funny how Matt Duchene goes and the Avs just skyrocketed. Also kind of funny that now that Matt Duchene is in Ottawa, they fell to crap. Maybe Matt Duchene's bad luck. I'm not sure. I really don't know. They're a wild card. I love McKinnon. I love Landeskog. I like Soderberg a whole bunch. I feel like, believe it or not, this is not devastating, but the loss of Blake Como. Blake was there for a really long time. I really liked him as that third and fourth line kind of a guy. I felt like he really worked well in the organization, and they're so low salary cap wise. I don't know why they didn't bring back Blake Como whatsoever. I think Philip Grubauer is a slight upgrade in net. I'm not sure where Semyon Varlamov is as far as health goes. To be honest with you, Steven, there's just a whole bunch of question marks for me. I could tell you like my honest feelings, which I'm telling you right now, but stick with me 10, 15 games into the season. I could look at these guys. I could see how they're playing. I could see the line combinations. I could see how the goaltenders are. Right around then is when I really like to give my assessment for the league, especially into that sweet 20-game mark mid-November. We'll really start to talk about that there. But, you know, this is a McKinnon-Landeskog line, a McKinnon-Landeskog team. They're the ones who've got to, you know, step up and have a good year. If they're as lights out as they were last year, I mean, they refuse to take no for an answer. Essentially, you watched all those games. Those two guys in particular, really in particular, McKinnon, never gave up. Never once, not for a shift. And it paid off. And it paid off. I think coaching is really important there. Obviously, the coach has a good hold on that team. And I think management, for their credit, went out and got Grubauer and did what they did there. They brought in Ian Cole. I don't think it was as bad of a move as some people said. I like Ian Cole. You know, you like Barry. You know, I think that they've got some decisions to make next year. They got a lot of free agents coming up for next year. But, I mean, I think they're in good shape. I mean, you're sitting there this year alone. Where's their cap number? You got $12 million in cap space. They'll take a William Nylander. The thing is I don't think that they don't have a defenseman to give up. I'm not sure that they have a defenseman that will pique anybody's interest. Sam Girard? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just a bunch of firsts that go back the other way, and Dubas worries about moving those firsts or drafting a defenseman or moving those firsts for a defenseman. They do have that Ottawa Senators pick, which we know is going to be a very high pick. So if I'm a Colorado Avalanche fan, by the way, Steven, I wouldn't be worried about this season at all. I'd be damn excited about years 2 and 3. Where you're going to be in 19 and 20, because I think you're going to be off in really, really good shape. Finally, this evening, I want to leave you with this little bit of news, and that is that the Islanders and both the Islanders and the Devils announced that they have reached an agreement with not Radio.com, but Entercom, who owns Radio.com. By the way, if you guys have any other questions, shoot them up now, because we're wrapping up this bad boy real soon. They've entered in an agreement with Entercom to carry all of their games on radio.com and the radio.com app. And what I find to be pretty interesting about this is I'm a technology guy, futurist all the way. I like moving forward. I'm on the air, traditional radio, every single morning, 5 days a week here in New York. I love traditional radio. It's what I do. But I know, like any other person with a brain, that the world is going towards digital, internet. There's a specific reason why the Hockey Talk Show is on Facebook and YouTube Live and on podcast afterwards. There's a specific reason why I didn't go somewhere to do a sports talk show on traditional FM radio. There's a reason why I wanted to do this show. I own this show. This show is entirely mine, and I answer to nobody. I feel like there's a lot of appeal in that. I also know that most people your age, and yeah, I'm talking to you, no matter what age you are, you guys watch things on your phone. I wonder if I took a quick poll right now, how many people are watching this on their phone versus their computer? I bet you a lot of people are watching on a laptop versus an old tower. And I know for certain that all the people that are listening on the podcast are probably listening on the phone. I mean, you can listen to the show on a traditional computer, but I know you're probably listening on a phone. That was the idea of this show, is to get this program on your phone. Everybody uses a phone, and everybody uses the phone an awful lot. So I think that's where the world is going. And I think one day, most of the league, Eric's watching on his TV. God bless your heart, Eric. That means you are really into technology. If you got Facebook or YouTube hooked up on your TV, my man, I like that a lot. And by the way, let me apologize for my face. I know if it's a big TV, that can be really rough watching this face on a big TV. Anyway, the point is this. This is where the world is headed. We are headed towards this exact thing. And the National Hockey League, to their credit, they're very technologically advanced. Their app is fantastic. Most of the team apps are wonderful. It all comes from Major League Baseball, believe it or not. They're the ones who are running all of the National Hockey League's digital, and they've done a great job with it. MLB BAM. If you're really interested in looking at it, Google MLB BAM to find out more information. But the world is not there just yet. We're not where I know we're going to be probably 18 months to 24 months from now. I think it's flat out pathetic that your National Hockey League franchise, especially in the largest market in the country, cannot find a traditional radio home. Now, this has been a struggle for the Islanders and the Devils for quite some time. There's no value in these franchises on radio. None. I know this because the Devils paid to be on radio in New York City. The Devils paid out of pocket to be on radio. The Islanders did a similar thing as well. And that being said, I think the team just got sick of paying to be on radio. Now, they'll still have some games on radio. But my point is, you want to be advanced. You want to be where everybody is next. It's just too damn early. Continue to pay out of pocket and be on traditional radio. That's where you belong. That's where every National Hockey League franchise belongs. I did a whole thing on the Carolina Hurricanes in the offseason and how disgusting they were for letting their play-by-play go and saying radio is not important. Radio is important. It pushes the brand. It pushes the brand. Not everybody that loves the Carolina Hurricanes, the Islanders, or the Devils know how to put their phone on in the car. That generation is just not there yet. I think it's pathetic that you can't turn on an FM radio station in Long Island, New York, or New Jersey and hear these two teams. It's sad, and somebody needs to say that. Eric watches on his TV. It's 60 inches, but he listens from the other room so he doesn't have to see my face. We'll end it on that. I'm going to go and cry. Thanks a lot, Eric. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to cry. Thank you guys so much for the good couple of days here to start off the season. We got a lot of exciting stuff coming up this season. Slow night tonight in the National Hockey League, Carolina and Columbus. I'm not even going to pick a winner for that because nobody cares about that game. San Jose and the Kings. I was surprised, by the way, at San Jose in game one. Didn't look as good as I wanted them to look. So the Battle of California should be pretty good. But on Saturday, we've got the Edmonton Oilers and New Jersey Devils from Sweden. That's the 1 o'clock game. That'll be really interesting to see. Give me the Edmonton Oilers in that game. Technically on the road, the Devils are technically the home team. Winnipeg and Dallas, this is going to be a good match. A lot of the test for the Dallas Stars this year, to me, is going to come from how they play against the Winnipeg Jets. Clearly, Winnipeg is the team to beat in that division. How is Dallas going to be this year? Well, I want to see how they're going to play against the Winnipeg Jets. Rangers in Buffalo. Let's see how these two young teams do, changing directions a bit. Ottawa and Toronto. If the Toronto Maple Leafs can't beat the Ottawa Senators in convincing fashion, then you really have a problem. Battle of Florida already. Give me Tampa at home, even though I like the Florida Panthers a little bit better this year to make the playoffs. I think they might push the Devils out. Islanders and Nashville. Nashville did really well against the Rangers. Let's see how they continue their road trip against the Islanders. It'll be a good test for the Islanders early on in the season here, because Lord knows Carolina isn't, but the Nashville Predators know how to bring it. So we'll see there. Pittsburgh and Montreal. Going to be Pittsburgh at home. Busy Saturday here with great matchups. Chicago and St. Louis. Give me St. Louis at home. Vegas goes 0-2 as they will lose to the Minnesota Wild on their game on Saturday. By the way, the Vegas Golden Knights fans, awfully quiet out there. Lost game one in convincing fashion to the Philadelphia Flyers. They got creamed. I think it was all gritty. It was the confidence that gritty gave them. That's what I think. Philly over Colorado on Saturday. Give me the Arizona Coyotes over the Anaheim Ducks. That's my Are You Crazy Ant pick. And Vancouver, Calgary. Give me Calgary at home. I like the lift that James Neal gets them. Wow. Thanks about the thoughts on the Columbus Blue Jackets game. Go Jackets. Sorry, Rob. I think the Jackets are going to be good tonight. I'm lying if you think I'm not going to watch that game. I'm going to watch a little bit. Actually, I'm not lying. I'm probably going to watch Man in the High Castle. I'm obsessed with that show. So is my wife. We will bond over that. But I might sneak in a little Columbus, Carolina beforehand. It's just going to be hard to watch Carolina two games in a row. I mean, that's punishment no regular hockey fan should have to endure. Let's go, Yotes. Priscilla, thank you for a great show. Eddie, Rob, AK, everybody. Eric in the YouTube chat, in the Facebook chat. Carrie, Steven, Ryan, Evander, Liz, Pietro, Michael, all the way from Northern Ireland watching. Thank you, guys. As always, it's a pleasure to do this. We'll see you next week. We'll have a whole bunch of live shows coming your way. Enjoy the hockey.